Good morning again. Today's word comes from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. And he was saying, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
All right, all right. It happened. You know, God bless you guys. Good morning. Pastor Brad, welcome back, man. Good to see you. You know, Craig is a very humble man. You know, he introduced our guest missionary, but this week, guys, is his big day. Shelby Supply is having their grand opening this Saturday. So you guys helped make that happen. It's just a big deal. And, of course, you probably can go to www.insidescc and find out where that is all happening. I don't know. But anyway, it's a big day for him. One other thing before I get into the word today. You know, you guys minister. Y'all do a great job, and that's what it's about, being equipped and doing ministry. This Friday, to kick off our Easter weekend, our life group, Linda Smith's life group that meets at the Bridge at 12:30, it's at the Bridge Ministry Outreach, they're having a kind of a Good Friday event. And they've seven of the members of their life group are going to be presenting, this is miraculous, a seven-minute message. So seven individual speakers, 7 minutes each on the seven last sayings of Jesus from the cross. And so it's going to be a great time to kind of get into, you know, the Easter spirit, and it's going to be a great time. So if you have availability at 12:30, it's going to last a little over an hour, so if you can take a long lunch break if you're working, we want to invite you to that. It's going to be great. So Linda, thank you. Good job for helping make all that continue to happen. It's good. Well, God bless you. Sorry, teachers, it's over. Spring break is over, and you're back to work now, and kids are had a good time. It's like Brother Craig said, good night. 30 degrees this morning. This ain't right. It's just not right. But, you know, it's Indiana, right? So, anyway, God's working. Well, Mark chapter 4, 26 through 29 is... It's got relevance for us today. I just believe that some of the things that are going to come out of this passage are going to give you some hope. It's going to spring up some stuff. I believe there's going to be some encouragement. I believe there's going to be some things that we need to say, man, I need to do differently on that. And it's kind of like a summary. In a couple of weeks, this passage, the previous part of Jesus' parable is going to really be expounded on in detail. But I want to just do the final part here today and just talk about this verse where he says, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed on the ground. Now, the next part is what I really like. Now, this we can get into. And then he went to bed. He went to bed at night, and he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. And how he himself does not know. You know what it says? It says that there is something powerful, so powerful about this book, because we're going to see that the seed is representative of the Word of God. And this book is so powerful that as you allow it to get into your heart, into your soil, we're going to see your soul, which is the soil. As you allow it to get in there, things are going to happen, and you're going to go, I don't know how it happened. I'm just changing. God is just working. I used to think like this. I think like this now. I used to want to do this. I want to do that now. I used to be over here. Now I'm over here now. And how it happened, guys, we're going to see is two things, two big things. God is working, but he uses the seed and he uses the soil, which is your heart. So here's my big, I like my topic tonight. I mean, today it says just sleep on it. You want to grow spiritually? You need to get more sleep. That's deep right there now. You're just going to have to realize that God is going to change you in your everyday life. Now, you may have some great experiences. Let me tell you about experience last Sunday. We had a prayer time here at the altar last Sunday, and one of the ladies that came forward to pray for one of her loved ones who was a prodigal, she was praying here. It's about 12:10, okay, about 12:10. She was calling out a name of someone that she loved very much and hadn't been to church in years, that was backslidden, and she's calling out his name. We had a thing, remember, where if you were here, we actually said their names out loud. So she calls out this nephew's name. He's married, young man, and in another time zone at 11:15, okay, at 11:15, this guy who hadn't been to church in years just happened to go to a church service, and at this church service, they were given an altar call, and this man actually went to the altar call and gave his heart to the Lord Jesus. Isn't that something? So you say, how does that kind of stuff happen? Can I just tell you? You probably won't figure it out other than just saying, God's at work. God's doing something. But the seed has great power, and it builds our faith. So it grows in our, I'm just going to call it everyday life. Most of y'all went to bed at some time last night, and all of you woke up sometime this morning. Some of you are trying to catch up during my message. Don't do that. But wait till Pastor Brad's back next week. No, I'm just kidding. But you have an everyday life. And it is in the everyday life that God wants to show up. It is in, I mean, we have teachers, we've been mentioning them, we have students. They have a schedule. You know, the students go to bed later at night because they're on their phones. Teachers go to bed early because they're worn out. They all have to get up, eat their quick breakfast, get to school. They have a daily routine. They work hard during the day. Students might have a part-time job. Everyday life. We have medical professionals here in our congregation. We have factory workers, tradesmen. We have construction workers. We have government employees. We have office workers. We have fast food and restaurant workers. All of them have a daily life. Let's just call it routine. Your routine may not be like somebody else's routine. But here's the thing that we're going to look at. This word works in all of your lives the same way. If you get this word into your life, you get this seed into your life, God is going to change. Now, you may be like this guy. You go to bed at night. You start a new day the next morning. How your life's changing, you may not know. I mean, you may be a salesperson, a small business owner, a truck driver, a logistics person, a caretaker, a farmer. You may be a homemaker. You may be a manager. You may be a lawyer. You may be clerical staff. You may be retired. God bless you. But here's the thing, in our daily routines, not just in services where God shows up and in our worship times when we come together, and not just in your small group, God's seed is at work changing you, Scripture says, from one degree of glory to another degree of glory through the Lord the Spirit. You may not know you're being changed, but God says, I will change you if you allow this seed to be planted in your heart. We all have daily routines. You know, it's like this. Look on the screen. The seed has power in itself. Here's the thought. Guys, write this down. You don't have to do anything to make the Word of God more powerful. You can't do anything to make it more powerful. The Word of God is power in itself. It is anointed itself. The Word of God is God-breathed, we're going to see, itself. It has the power to change our thoughts, our actions, our minds, our emotions, our bodies. It has power. It's great power. It is seed. That just means the picture is it goes into you, and it has to get rooted. And then when it's rooted, it's going to become fruitful. It's a process. And it increases, we're going to see this morning, it increases its impact. It doesn't just stay dormant if you keep planting seed. It's like this morning. Woke up this morning before dark. It wasn't that I was so spiritual my dog had to go to the bathroom, but it was really good. It's kind of a moment, you know, because it's like sun's getting ready to come up. And I don't know where this word came from, but there's a scripture that came to my mind. It says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And so I'm looking out my back door while the dog's moving down the yard, trying to make sure he's not in my neighbor's yard, but it's kind of dark still, so I wasn't going to worry about it too much. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name. So I praise him. I said, Lord, praise you for today. Thank you for the opportunities today has. Now, you know what? That verse was hidden in my heart. It's in some of your hearts. And you may be a truck driver. See, you may be going down the road and you started out early. And that same verse is going to come to your mind. And guess what it's going to do? It's going to produce the same praise to the Lord as it did in me in your life. You may be a doctor. You may be a professional working in some medical field, and you had to get up at 4:30 this morning, and you had to go make some rounds. You know what? If that same verse is hidden in your heart, it will spring up the same because the Holy Spirit will spring it up the same way because he deserves praise. He deserves praise. Psalm 118 comes up a lot. This is the day, finish this with me, that the Lord has, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Did you know that? I heard this the other day. I think it's true. I haven't counted it to see. But they say it because of the verses of the Bible are numbered, if you were to add up the total numbered verses and go right to the middle, you actually come to Psalm 118:24. I've heard that. I haven't counted. But this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And here's my point. The seed works the same in all of our lives if we avail ourselves to it and if we receive it. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a small group leader. You don't have to be this or have to be that. The Word of God itself is powerful and it will work in your life. The key is you have to let it get in there. Jeremiah 23 says this, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that shatters a rock? God says, my word, my seed, the seed that gets into your soil, it is powerful. It can burn up stuff that needs to get out of your life. The seed itself can break up things that need to be broken up so you can deal with them in small increments. I like that. That's me sometimes. Can't deal with a whole big problem. But you know what? God will give you grace, and God will show you ways to deal with stuff in your life because of the seed. Not because, first, because of my age or because of my position, but just because of the Word of God in your life. Psalm 119, you've heard this one too. The Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We've all memorized that one, right? Well, here's the point, guys. See, Pastor, we hear about this luck because you go to a great church. I mean, honestly, I love serving with Pastor Brad. It's one of the reasons I came back up here. I was proud and honored to be able to serve as one of his staff members. And you hear the word a lot. You're going to hear the word at Shelbyville. I mean, you know, of course, we're kind of emphasizing, hey, get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we want to give you one. But, you know, you come to any of our services, you're going to have the Word of God open, and you're going to hear the Bible taught. Can you say amen to that? But you have to receive that word, and I believe some of us have to go beyond that, and we've got to start memorizing some of it. Now, how many of you would agree that memorizing scripture is just a little tougher now than it was back when you were a kid? How many of y'all be on it? Yeah, okay. Absolutely. You haven't tried if you didn't raise your hand, because it just is. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing it. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be trying it. There's lots of ways you can keep hearing it, you keep reading it. Because here's what God promises you. This is what God promises you if you will let this seed take its rightful place of impact in your life. He says this, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and they don't return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed. See, there it is. Seed to the sower and bread for food. So my word will not return to me void, empty. So my word, which goes forth by my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God says, I will change your life. But you have to receive some seed. If you want change in your life, it isn't just a matter of willing it so. Now, we're going to see in a minute that's part of the soil. But you can't just go, I'm going to change, I'm going to change, I'm going to change. It isn't just about being sorry, 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 and crying crocodile tears. Although that's good. I like to see those personally as a pastor. I mean, you know, when you're at the altar, I think most all the pastors, yeah, I want to see somebody that's sincere about really repenting. But that's not enough. We have to just receive what God has given us as the life-changing seed. This seed will produce its own fruit in your life if you will avail yourself. That's why after Easter, we're going to start a four-week Bible study just for new Christians. We're going to have it, we're going to be talking about it, but maybe some of you that have been Christians for a while would enjoy going through it. But we're just going to talk about how do you learn how to get into the Bible? How do you learn how to say a prayer? Just, we're going to start off with some basic stuff because here's what happens. You get it going, God says, hey, just sleep on it. Go to bed. See, some of y'all just need to sleep more while you're meditating on the word. Because God says, I'm going to work in your heart. I'm going to change you. And it isn't because you're doing something so spectacular. It's going to be because the word is so spectacular. Well, it's working. You know, you're going to hear it here. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is inspired by God. That means God breathed. And it's profitable. All scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Look at those four things. It says it's good for teaching. You're going to hear this on a regular basis. You're going to hear examples out of scripture. You're going to hear commands. You're going to hear things that you can avoid, things that you can do. But you're going to hear the word. It's teaching. But then sometimes you're going to hear something that's called reproof. Because you might be like me sometimes and you're not really in a place where God says, this is where I want you to be. Reproof means I'm just going to tell you this is what I want instead of what you're doing. And then he says it's profitable for correction. It actually teaches you and shows you how to get back to where God wants you. And then he trains you in righteousness. He wants to keep you on the flow. He says so that both men and women, God can make you adequate, equipped for every good work. 2 Peter 1 says this. It says, know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture, none of this word of God is just man-made up. Now, if you've been to a secular college, you heard that. I was very blessed. I went to a state college that had one of the best religion departments in America at the time. It was Western Kentucky University. It was amazing. When I was just a young kid, I was a new committed Christian, and our religion department there, which I had one of my majors was in religious studies, they were incredible. One of the guys, Julius Scott, ended up going to a major seminary and teaching at Westminster. I mean, he's world renowned. One of the other guys was a guy named, what was his name? He wrote a book. he wrote a commentary on the Gospel of Mark. It's been a long week. But I'm going, these guys, I wasn't bombarded with negativity. I was bombarded with challenges to get into the word and to get it. And I praise God, I didn't have to go through that thing about, oh, this is just a man-made book. It really doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have any authority in your life. Instead, I was fortunate, even at a state school, to where these guys were saying, look, this is how the word of God came. It wasn't written in English, but it was by people that God spoke to and came upon and brought back thoughts and memories, I mean, of what Jesus had said, and they wrote it down. So I didn't have to go through that challenging, demoralizing, ripping my faith up. I praise God for that, even in state college. Of course, the seminary, they were pretty good. They should be, right? John 14:25, see, Jesus said this. He says, the helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he's going to teach you all things. But look at this. He says, he's going to bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. You see, out of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, only two of them were disciples. Did you know that? Luke was a doctor. He was actually Peter's personal physician and actually was the Apostle Paul's personal physician. And Mark was actually Peter's, one of his personal disciples. And so, but here was the promise Jesus said. He says, if you're going to keep walking with me, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he is going to bring to your remembrance everything that I've said to you. So when those men of God sat down to write down, not their memoirs, but their testimony of what they'd seen Jesus do, the Holy Spirit was right there speaking to their hearts, guiding them as they wrote. It wasn't like they were in a trance, you know, and it wasn't like that, but impressing them what to write. Now, guess what? He's the same one that when you open up the book, he's the same one who's going to help you unpack it. See, he helped them write it, but he's going to help you unpack it. John, in John 16:13, he says, when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit was on both ends of bringing about this life-changing seed into existence. See, the Holy Spirit first started with the men that God used to write the book through, and then on our end of it, he's the one who takes these words as we read the words and makes them alive in our hearts. But then you've got to know that the book itself has power. Now, we don't worship this book because it's a book of revelation. It reveals to us who Jesus is, and the Holy Spirit wants us to worship him. So let me ask you this. What was one of the first verses you ever memorized? Do you remember? Let's just think back for a minute, okay? Let me have some of you are young believers. First off, be honest just for a second. We're encouraging. How many of you can say, I don't think I've ever memorized a verse of scripture in my life? Let me see your hands. All right, thank you for being honest. Okay, but I'm going to. Thank you very much for committing to do that. That's good. Because we have to. We have to. I remember I gave my heart to the Lord. I was 19 years old. I was one of those prodigals. I was backslidden, raised in the church, backslidden really bad. And God got a hold of my heart, and this youth pastor was working part-time. We had a little church down in Kentucky, and during the summers, they would hire a summer youth pastor. So my spiritual experience was every summer I'd get hot for Jesus, and the rest of the time I'd live like I wanted to. But this time I really sold out, made Jesus Lord, and Eric said, let's memorize the scripture. And I went, okay, because I just felt that was the thing you're supposed to do. And he said, I said, what's the verse we're going to memorize? He goes, Amos 8:11. I said, Amos. No, not remembering anything out of Amos. I'm going, I don't even know where Amos is. In fact, I have a hard time finding it today, and I'm a pastor. But it's in there. It's a little small book. Amos 8:11. And so he said, so let's memorize it. I said, okay. And he had this real cool Mustang. I remember I was just feeling pretty cool just riding in the car with him. And so he goes, here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to tell you the address. We're going to memorize the address and then the verse. And then you say the address at the end of it. I said, okay. So he goes, Amos 8:11. I went, okay. No, you say it. Amos. So I said, okay, Amos 8:11. He goes, now here's how it starts. Amos 8:11. Behold, days are coming, says the Lord. So he says, say that. I went, Amos 8:11, behold, days are coming, says the Lord. I shall send a famine on the land. So I said, when I shall send a famine. No, start at Amos 8:11. Okay, Amos 8:11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. And then he adds this to it, as it phrase by phrase. Not a famine for bread. I'm pretty quick, so I went all the way back to Amos 8:11 because I knew that's what he's wanting me to do. Amos 8:11, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. And then he says, add this, not a famine for bread nor a thirst for water. Not a famine for bread or a thirst for water. Y'all got the picture. But of hearing the words of the Lord. But of hearing the words of the Lord. So I memorized this verse, never heard of Amos. Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread, nor a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. That was the first verse I memorized after I committed my life to Christ. And I want you to know that famine has increased. That famine has not been satisfied in our country. That famine has not been satisfied in our churches. People are still famished for the Word of God. Now, here's the truth, guys. We've heard a lot of it. We just haven't kept it. We just haven't valued it. Jesus said at one time, he says, you got to be careful when you're casting pearls before swine. That's a picture, isn't it? Throwing a bunch of pearls out in front of a bunch of hogs and they just stepping them into the mud. He says, no. He says, guys, you need to take this seed and you need to know that it's powerful. You need to know that it's life-changing. And you need to know that it can change you even in your everyday life. But you've got to present yourself to it. So we're going to be committed to help you do that, but you've got to make a choice to make it happen. Because, see, this is the second thing. He says, it's not just that the seed is powerful in itself, but you've got to know that the soil also has power. Look at what the scripture said. This is what Jesus said. Verse 28. The soil produces crops by or in itself. That little Greek en can mean by or it can mean in. It says the soil produces crops in itself, by itself. First the blade, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. So, guys, this is what Scripture says. The seed is powerful, but the soil, which is your soul, we're going to see, is also powerful in itself. That's why we have to guard what we allow to go into our minds on a regular basis. Because your mind and your will and your emotions are powerful. They're powerful. The soil is our soul. Maybe you call it your heart. Maybe you call it. A lot of times we say our mind, but really the mind is just part of the soul. See, we all have an IQ, right? An intelligence quotient. That's part of our mind. Quotient just means the dividing end of things. We all have an intelligence quotient, but did you know we also have an emotional quotient? See, some of you can understand some things intellectually great, but boy, you just cannot deal with it emotionally. I mean, when some stuff comes up emotionally, you just mess up bad. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And it's because your emotional quotient isn't really that high. I mean, you can think it, you can visualize it, you get a problem, you can see it, you can see how to figure it out. But as far as dealing with the feelings that go with it, oh man, you're bad. Look at the person next to you and say, sometimes you're bad. Go ahead and say, it's all right. I mean, sometimes we just don't handle it well emotionally. Now, guys, a lot of guys in here would say, I handle it fine. I just completely ignore it. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? So your soul is powerful. It's powerful. And it involves your intellect. It involves your emotion. Now, I made up this word last night or this week, volitional quotient. Volitional means your chooser. Volition is your chooser, your will. And I have never read anything about that. So if you read it somewhere, just know you heard it first here. Your volitional quote. Some of you aren't so good choosing, or some of you just go with the flow so much, you don't ever take a stand and choose right anytime. You're just going to go with the flow. Well, I believe this. I believe we all have an intelligence quotient. I believe we have an emotional quotient. And I believe we have a volitional quotient. I choose it. I believe some of us need to realize that we just need to make better choices. We can call it soul cue. I wrote that down here. You see that in the book. Just so we had a pastor at our church. He talked about that a long time ago. Here's the thing. Your soul is the soil that this seed goes into. And God says, if you will put this seed into a fertile soil, he said, you can just sleep on it. I'm going to change your life. I'm going to make changes in your life. You're going to go to bed and live your ordinary day that day. You're going to go to bed that night. Next morning, you're going to wake up. He says, I'm going to let some of that seed spring up, and your life is going to continue to change because the seed is powerful and your soul, your soil is powerful. Now, guys, you may not think you're powerful, but you are. James 1:21, listen to this. He says, therefore, put aside all filthiness. And put aside all malice and all that remains of wickedness. That's just another word for saying repent. He says, in humility, look at this. Receive the word implanted. Look at that word. James uses it. He says, receive the seed implanted, which is able to save or deliver your soul. See, James knew this. You got to get the seed into your soul. You got to get the seed into your soil. You know, it's kind of like, he says, and then stuff happens. He says, first a shoot comes up. So then you get a little head on it, and then you have a full grain in the head. I had that example with daffodils. Now, I'll just tell you again, we don't have any. But boy, my neighbor has some. And you know what? I remember when they first started coming up. They first, this little green thing starts shooting up. Then next thing, it's got a little, like a little bulb, a little head on it. And then, boom, it's like the next day, yellow everywhere. Again, we don't have any of those. But I want some. And here's what I need. I don't know if they come, if you plant them as seed yet, or I don't know if you plant them as bulbs yet. But I know this, if I want some of the yellow things, I've got to start with putting the seed in the ground, right? If you want the flowers, ladies, you got to plant some seeds. Men, and if you want, well, you got to plant flowers as seed too. I was going to, that wasn't nice. You got to plant seed. Let me tell you, we had a lady that was working here when I first came, Jessica, sweetheart, and her husband went to Holland, Michigan. And we went to Holland, Michigan last year, and we saw this tulip festival. Oh, my goodness. We got word that they were going to give away all those tulips, all those bulbs. And we were thinking, man, how can we get up there to get some? Well, it turns out Jessica's husband was going to go up there and had to do some work. And she said, well, we'll get him to go by and dig us up some. So sure enough, he took gave him a white bucket, and he took them up there and dug up a bunch of tulip bulbs. Now, truthfully, I forgot I had them. They sat in my garage all winter. And I saw them, a couple weeks ago, and man, they were all dried up and crusty and everything, you know, all the stuff that used to be green around them, it's all dead and brown. And my wife said, plant them in the ground, plant them. I said, Mary, they're dead, throw them away. She said, just plant them, you never know. Guys, can I just tell you, God did something. He put an example from this sermon right now because I planted those bulbs by my front door. Now, I should have planted them in a better place because my front yard is clay. It's not even dirt. I want you to know, if you were to come to my house right now, there's a bunch of little stuff poking through the ground where I planted those dead bulbs. Now, you know what? God spoke to me through that. I'm just sitting there looking at it amazing, and God says, hey, you plant the seed, I'll take care of the rest. See, guys, the thing is, the life was in the seed. It wasn't in my great planting ability because I just dug a hole, that hard clay stuff, put in some, you know, looser brown dirt, and just stuck them in there. I just stuck them in there, covered them all up, and I've got shoots coming up. Now, if things go like I'm thinking, that stalk's going to come up, and there's going to be a tulip on the end. You know why? Because the seed mixed up with that bad soil, even the bad soil, still produced life. Now, here's where I'm going with this as we get ready to land. Guys, God wants to change your lives. He wants to change your lives. And it isn't about you somehow just getting, I'm going to change if it kills me. It's going to kill you. That's not how you change. That's not how you become more loving. That's not how you become more self-controlled. That's not how you become nicer. That's not how you overcome and break bad habits. It's not just by just hunkering down and making it happen. No, here it is, guys. In this parable, Jesus tells us, you got to let this powerful seed get into your powerful soul, powerful soil. And God says, I will change your life even while you're sleeping. Your everyday, regular, everyday life is going to start changing, and the word's going to start coming out of it. Can you say amen, anybody? And if any of you have any extra daffodils or flowers, put them in a bucket. I'll plant them sometime next year. I want the praise team to come back up. I like to close with just a little affirmation. We'll just sing it back to the Lord. But God, the last thing, though, is this. The seed in our soils, guys, the seed when it's in our soils prepares us to receive a harvest. We all want a good harvest, but it only is preceded by the act of planting good seed. Verse 29 says, when this crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. There's a verse, Galatians 6, 7, and 8, that one of those verses that somebody challenged me to memorize. This is what it says. It says, don't be deceived. Don't fool yourself. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. God is not made fun of. God is not proved to be a liar. Don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. Whatever a person sows, whatever seed they put in the ground, that they're also going to reap. Now, the second part of that says, he who sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life, eternal things. But here's the law. Here's the law. Here's the law. You see, anytime you, when you put this seed or any other seed in the ground, Scripture says you're going to have a harvest. He says, when time permits, you're going to have a harvest. But here's what you'll always find. Whatever kind of seed you plant, that's what he says, is the kind of crop you're going to reap, right? You don't plant corn and reap soybeans, right? You just don't do it. You don't plant hatred and give that away. You're planting seed and then expect to receive love back. You don't plant criticism in your kids all the time and expect that they're going to come back lovingly adoring you. It's not going to happen. What you plant is what you're going to reap. That's the first part. You know what the second part is? It's always later. It's always later. When you plant, there's always a time where it's germinating and incubating before it starts growing and producing. There's always a time. It's always later. But here's the kicker. The third thing is, it's not just the same that you plant. It's not always just later than you plant it. It's always more than you plant it. It's always more than you plant it. You keep sowing seeds of love in your heart, in your wife's heart, in your children's lives. Guys, it's going to come back, but it's going to come back multiplied. In the same way, you keep planting negativity and bad things and situations at work, it's going to come back, but it's going to come back more. It's going to come back more, even if it's negative. It's going to be more because that's the law of the harvest. So what God says is, guys, it's everyday life stuff. Everyday life stuff. He says, don't lose heart in doing good. In due time, we will reap if we don't grow weary. Keep planting good seed. Keep planting good seed. Keep purifying your heart. Here's how you do that. This is what we're going to sing this song. One of the ways I like is by responding in worship. You see, worship takes your eyes off of yourself, off of your belly button, and it puts it on him. And that's what we're going to do with this next song. We're going to sing this song, He Is, about God's character and what God does. And man, every one of those is for us. And so we're going to respond with this. And can you say amen to the word being seed? It's seed in you. It's going to change you. It's going to make a life difference in all of our hearts. Your soil is your soul. And God's going to, he wants to change it. No matter how old you are, He wants us to go after him. So let's stand together. We're going to close with this song, and they're going to sing it to us. And then second time through, though, we're going to make application. Okay? Thank you, girls. Guys.
If you're troubled, heavy-hearted, come to Jesus and true peace. If you're run down, empty-handed, come to Jesus and find true strength.
Did that, but if you want to pray, somebody in your life group will come and pray with you, or somebody will join you in prayer. But I hope all over the room, because all of us, hey, our everyday lives have all kinds of stuff all the time. Thank you for praying for my stuff this week, as my son is continuing to believe, and we're believing he's continuing to be healed in the hospital. He's not out of the woods, but you know, my thing is I'm letting the seed of the promise that God is a healer, that God is a restorer, that God is one who renews, that God is merciful, you know, to people who made bad choices and, you know, haven't earned anything. I'm letting the seed be in my soil. And this type of times is when my soil gets enriched. You know, it's like I'm pouring some super gross stuff, you know, some black dirt on top of my dead tulip bulbs. And God stirs it up. And that's what this time is. This is your time just to press in the Lord. So I want you to imagine yourself in just a little 2-foot circle. It's just you and him. It's you and him. And just sing to him. Say, Lord, change my heart. Let my soul be refreshed. Let my soul continue to be renewed. Let the word be strong in me. Let God do that. If you want to come to the altar, we always invite people to come, and somebody will pray with you if you need prayer. But let's sing this one more time. And when you get to that place where you're declaring who he is, you may not be a good singer like me, but you can say it. Amen. Just say it. I mean, just say those words. Say it. Declare it over your life, over your situation. So let's sing it one more time, okay? Thank you. Let's do it. Words? Yeah.
Comforter, counselor, the Prince of Peace, author and maker of everything, defender, deliverer, King of Kings.
God speaks to your heart and encourages you and lifts you up. And you know, because you're right where all of us were at one time. If you're new, if you're just opening your heart to the ministry of the Lord, he's starting something and he's going to finish it. You just need to know that he started the good work in you and he will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, guys, I want you to take these. Make sure you all have one, or there's going to be some in some empty seats. There's a few more out there at the Next Steps desk. But if you know two or three people that you can invite personally, man, take these. Even if you don't know people, just give it to them. Say, hey, what are you doing Sunday? And, you know, God has their number. But we want to encourage you. We're looking forward to this coming week so much. And we know it's going to be a great time where people are going to meet our Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father God, I thank you, God. I thank you for your word. It's settled in heaven. And God, it accomplishes all that you want it to accomplish. Thank you for us, God. You're changing our hearts. You're fertilizing our soil, God. Even as Pastor Brad taught a couple of weeks ago, you're helping us dig and helping us prepare the soil and making it more fertile and more able to take root. So God, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all that you've started and all that you're doing in our lives. And we give you thanks and we give you praise. And Lord, we anticipate all that you're going to be doing this week. And we say this all in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. 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 God bless you. Hey.